My name is Sue Schenck. I am the communication coordinator here at Grace Covenant Church. I'm married to Merle Schenck, our lead pastor. He has been out at Grace East this morning helping with their practice launch. Before we get started, in addition to what was already shared from that one song, you're never gonna let me down. You are good, good. I feel like the Lord said to me that somebody needs to hear, though you don't feel like there's a plan, God has a plan. And that you don't feel like there's a way, God has a way. And that you don't feel like you've had an answer, God has an answer. That He is good. He is good. He's not going to let you down. He's not going to let you down. Let's pray. Jesus, we declare once again, you are good. And though we may not see it or feel it, though we question it, though we even get impatient in seeing your goodness, we declare that you are good. I just want to thank you right now that you are not a one-dimensional God. I thank you that your word isn't one-dimensional and that your word can breathe new life into us, even if it's something we've heard a million times. So, Lord, would you breathe new life into each person who is here? God, open up our physical ears and the ears of our heart to hear what you know that we specifically need to hear this morning. You are good. We love you, Jesus. Amen. So for my dad's 35-plus professional career, he was an executive with General Motors. And when we lived in New York City, he worked for the international division, and he got to travel all over the world. I have a vivid picture of my dad sitting on a camel in Egypt. And he brought me jewelry back and souvenirs back from all over the world. And then he got transferred to the D.C. office, and he was in government relations, which basically was like he was lobbying for GM, and it really wasn't his thing. It wasn't his favorite thing. However, one of the perks of his job at that point was that every quarter of the year, he got to custom order a car. And then he would evaluate it, use it for 3 months, evaluate it, turn it back in, special order another car. It had to be a Buick, Oldsmobile at that point, Chevrolet, and Cadillac. So it was like a kid in a candy store. You know, we would sit down and be like, Dad, could we have electric windows? Like, I'm not that old, but electric windows were not standard on a car. So we're like, could we have electric windows? Could we have a tape player? You know, oh my gosh. Could we have air conditioning? Like, it was so exciting. And so we would put in this order and then, you know, wait a few months and then bam, within 3 months, there was this car. So this wish list of this, you know, ultimate car was transformed into reality. Would it not be so great if our life was like that? If in the area or areas in our life that we want to experience and see something different, that where we wanted an upgrade, that we wanted something better, that we could just put in a special order and that bam, it would just change. So instead of fear, there would be peace. And instead of discontentment, contentment. And instead of lack of self-control, control and discipline. Instead of impatience, patience. Instead of anger, kindness. Instead of selfishness, selflessness. Instead of lust, purity. Instead of pride, humility. And instead of envy, contentment and satisfaction. Now that's the kind of life we want to live. And so, welcome to our new sermon series, The Life You've Always Wanted to Live. This series is based on this book here by John Ortberg called The Life You've Always Wanted to Live, Spiritual Disciplines for Ordinary People, John Ortberg is a pastor at Menlo Park Presbyterian Church in San Francisco. He's also authored many books. One of his more popular is If You Want to Walk on Water, You Have to Get Out of the Boat. One of his that I've read that I really love is Everybody's Normal Until You Get to Know Them. So we are basing our series on this book. It's not verbatim, but if you have this book or you want to kind of follow along, go out and purchase The Life You've Always Wanted by John Ortberg. Now, when we say that, The Life You've Always Wanted, we're not talking about, yeah, I want a life that where I make more money and that I have more education and that I'm more popular or that I have more things. No, rather for the next 6 weeks, we're going to focus on growth in several areas of our spiritual lives that will help us to be transformed, to look more and more like God, and to walk in what He has for us. If we really and truly believe that the Bible is true, and if we really and truly believe the words of John 10:10 that says, He has come to give us life, abundant life to the full. If we really believe that, then how do we actually experience that kind of life? It's one thing to say it, but how do we experience it? So we're going to take the next several weeks to look at how we can live deeper and more fulfilled lives right where we are. So it's not this, I just got to get through this life, and then when I'm on the other side of glory, it's going to be amazing. But boy, for right now, no, right where we are. Now, some of you may be thinking, I'm not really looking to mess with any area of my life. I'm good. Please don't mess with things. Leave well enough alone. And if that's you, then my hope is that this series would help to stir up something in you to go after the abundant life that Jesus has for you. Let's not settle for okay. I mean, life's okay. As believers, let's not settle for okay. I don't know about you, but I absolutely love the new AT&T commercials. So there's one where this husband is preparing for surgery and he's sitting in a hospital bed and the wife's next to him and the nurse is there with the chart and they say, so have you worked with Dr. Francis before? And she says, yeah, he's okay. And they're like, just okay? And then Dr. Francis walks in, he's like, guess who just got reinstated? And they're all like, ah. And then the doctor says to the patient, so are you nervous? And he's like, yeah. And the doctor goes, yeah, so am I. We'll figure it out. Let's not settle for okay. Let's not settle for okay. God does not want most of our brokenness healed and most of our lives to be abundant. He wants all of it. He wants all of it to be repaired, to be overflowing, to be full. He wants to give us abundant life. He wants way more than just okay for us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone, you are part of that anyone, He is a new creature. The old things have passed. Behold, new things have come. He died in order to make us entirely new people, not for us to stay the same. In Galatians 4:19, Paul says, he charges the people, let Christ be formed in you. If that really happens to us, our lives look different. If Christ is truly formed in me, I will be different. Paul also says in Ephesians 2:5 that God, out of his great love for us, even when we were dead in our sins, made us alive together in Christ. That's the gospel. Not when you stopped sinning, when you got over it, when you were dead. He made us alive. Salvation is not just an entrance ticket into heaven, but it's a relationship with Jesus that changes my life right now. Yeah. Church, God doesn't just want us to live. He wants us to be alive. And there's a huge difference. There's a huge difference. He wants us to be alive. I don't know about you, but I want that. I want my life here and now to be alive with Christ. And I would venture to guess that most of us could say, you know, I'm not who I was, but I'm not quite yet who I want to be and where I want to be. There are those areas for each of us. I've got them for sure. It's not where it was, but I know it's not all that God has for me. So, how do we get there? How do we experience transformation from who we are and where we are to that abundant place and that abundant life that God has for us? So this, today, is going to be a transformation invitation. Today, we're going to look at transformation. And I need to give you a little bit of a warning. You ready? Everybody sweating a little bit? Transformation involves change. Transformation involves change. And many and most of us do not like change. We have a love-hate relationship with it. You don't have to look further than this church right now to experience change. With the change that's going on with 88 people going over to Grace East, that changes things here. With the change of us incorporating a new database, most of those changes people don't recognize, but some of it you are going to see. And we don't like change. We'll change diapers, we change addresses, we change clothes, we change phone numbers, we change the oil in our car, but change me? My life? My groove that I'm in? Hey now, hey now, hey now. Back away. But I gotta tell you, just about every definition that I looked up for transformation included the word change. A complete change. A permanent change, a complete change in the character or appearance of something or someone, especially so that thing or person is improved. And here is one of my favorite from the King James Version Dictionary. Transformation, a change of heart in man by which his disposition and temper are conformed to the divine image, a change from enmity to holiness and love. And this is really similar to the whole concept of sanctification. Sanctification is a big word in the Bible that I venture to say that many of us, we read it and we're like, yeah, I don't totally understand it, but whatever, it's in the Bible, I'm sure it's good. So I just want to briefly give you this definition. Sanctification is the progressive work, keeps moving on, of God to make a believer more like Jesus Christ, the process of making holy. To sanctify is to set apart for special use. To sanctify someone is to make him or her holy. One commentator said, sanctification will cost us absolutely everything in us that is not of God. Hallelujah. Sanctification involves transformation, and transformation involves change. But rest assured, God's transformation is always an upgrade. God's transformation will not take you backwards. It is always an upgrade, more and more into his image. So if having the life you've always wanted is going to require transformation, then let's look at some things that this invitation to transformation will involve. We'll look at some things about transformation. First of all, the transformation that God wants for us is inner. It's an inner transformation. The word transformation itself comes from the Greek word metamorpho, which describes the process by which that on the inside shines forth to the outside such that everyone can see. From the inside to the outside. And when an inner transformation occurs, invariably it manifests itself on the outside. Our words, our actions, our thought processes, our habits, but it starts on the inside. John Ortberg says in his book, if we do not become changed from the inside out, we will be tempted to find an external method to satisfy our need to feel that we are different. It has to start on the inside, and we have a prime example in Scripture of people who seemingly had it together and were transformed, but not on the inside, totally on the outside. And they were called Pharisees. And Jesus, throughout the New Testament, he kind of challenges the Pharisees. But boy, in Matthew 23, he rails on them. He just goes after them, the Pharisees and the scribes, because they were so concerned about the outer life that they came across okay to people. He says in verse 5, but they do all their deeds to be noticed by men. So make sure I look good on the outside because I want to be noticed. And he just went after them. Their outer life was no reflection whatsoever of their inner life, of their heart. And in Matthew 23, 8 times Jesus says, whoa. And it's not like, whoa, hold the phone. It's like, whoa, as in judgment or warning. And in verses 23 to 25, I want to read that specifically in the Amplified Version. He says, woe to you, self-righteous scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of extortion and robbery and self-indulgence, unrestricted greed. You spiritually blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and plate, examine and change your inner self to conform to God's precepts, so that the outside, your public life and deeds, may be clean also. Transformation has got to start on the inner, inside our heart. Here's a verse that many of us may be familiar with, 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. It's continual. We're continually being transformed. We're continually being sanctified into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. There's a lot of different thoughts on what this glory to glory could mean, and I've always taken it as one development of growth to another, and some commentators agree with that, or from one measure of grace to another. There was a commentator I read that I thought, this actually really challenged me. He said, the same Greek word is used for the two words glory, but it's a different usage. And the first glory is we're being transformed to the same glory from the first glory, which represented the Old Testament law. And that was the glory that was very, a bunch of rules, basically controlling behavior. Do this, don't do that, eat this, don't eat that, do this on the third day of the eighth month, you know, with your hands washed, whatever. There was that glory that was very external and based on outward behavior. But now he's changing us into the second glory from the New Testament, which is Jesus, which is an internal, which forgives our sins, and it's written on our hearts, 2 Corinthians 3:13 says. For these internal changes of heart, that's the glory that we're being changed into. We're not the external outward, but now it's this internal. And we're being conformed more and more into his image. Transformation needs to be inner, and then it will change the outer. Secondly, transformation takes time. Everybody just breathe. You can relax. Transformation takes time. Though I 100,000,000% believe that God can transform a believer's attitude, thought process, habit like that in a twinkling of an eye, I totally believe that. I would just say that more times than not, it just takes time. It just takes time. Back in the summer of 2016, our third son, Evan, had just graduated from college in May, and he wasn't starting his job, I think it was until the end of August. And so partly because he was like, I probably couldn't get a job for a couple months, and partly because he just didn't want to get bored, he was like, hey, how about I renovate your kitchen? Okay. Which we had thought about that kind of stuff, but we were like, okay, like, you know, that's fine. And so the process began. And let me tell you, if you've ever experienced a home renovation, it always takes longer than you think. It's an inconvenience. It's messy. And I am wired that if my house is in order, my spirit is in order. If my house is not in order, my spirit is not in order. And so my kitchen was a mess. And literally everything out of the cupboards was stacked in our guest room. My coffee maker was in the bathroom, which actually is kind of nice. I wake up in the morning, it's like, oh, it's like right there. It just was, you know, and Evan's like, Mom, I'm going to put, like when I'm sanding, I'm going to put a tarp up so the dust doesn't go everywhere, you know, trying to honor me. Though I would come home some days and on the refrigerator, there's so much dust, and he just drew this big smiley face like, hi, you know. But it was just a mess. But the end result was so well worth it. Like, I love my kitchen. The transformation was amazing. And is that not what it's like with transformation in our own lives? It's inconvenient. It's messy. It takes longer than you think. Two steps forward, one step back. To be honest, I was saying in first service that when we had the 21 days of prayer and fasting at the beginning of the year, I was praying for a number of things. But one was a particular situation to be in, and another one was a particular relationship. And within the last month, I've been in that situation, and I've also been in that relationship. And I feel like I didn't change at all. I didn't get any improvement. Like, it honestly was discouraging for me. But in studying for this, I was like, okay, I'm not giving up. I'm not going to be like, well, tried once and I haven't transformed. Like, transformation takes time. And I'm not where I used to be, but I'm not where I want to be. But transformation takes time. It's two steps forward, one step back sometimes, and yet the end result is so well worth it. When our heart attitudes change, when our fear has turned to peace and our envy has turned to contentment, our undisciplined life to a life of discipline, when our anger has turned to kindness, it's all worth it. You know, if Evan and Jim Hughes, who helped with our countertops, had quickly thrown the kitchen together, like they'd not taken our time, they didn't use quality material, they used Elmer's glue to put up the cabinets and the countertop, like I'm sure at this point that our kitchen would literally be falling apart. The countertop would have smashed on the ground, the cabinets would have fallen off the wall, and everything would be ka-chsh. Quality, long-lasting transformation takes time both in the natural and in the spiritual. One commentator said, transformation is a gradual, progressive process and is not an instant change. Beloved, there is no experience in the believer's life that will reproduce the image of the glory of God in a moment. Remember that Christ-likeness is a process, not a crisis. It takes a lifetime, but it is oh so worth it. In Genesis 8, chapter 22, it was after Noah had been in the ark and the flood, and then the sun came back out, and Noah and his family and the animals came back out, and God was speaking, and he refers to seed time and harvest. And I would just like us to think in the area of transformation, it's more like seed and then time and then the harvest of transformation. I don't know how many of you are familiar with author and speaker Ann Voskamp. In her book, 1,000 Gifts, she says, transfiguration, which is a synonym for transformation, so I'm going to use the word transformation. Transformation can be the long miracle. Miracles do not have to be the ones that happen in a second. There can be long miracles. And transformation can be the long miracle. The miracle of transformation takes time. Breathe easy and give yourself some grace. Just don't give up. Don't quit. And lastly, transformation is all God's doing. We simply need to be willing and obedient. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Church, this is exciting news. He gives us the will to want to change, and he does the work. We should be jumping up and down. Woo! He gives us the will, and he does the work. When you're like, Lord, I know I should change in this area. I was just telling the Lord this morning. I know I should change this area. I'm not quite there yet. You've got to give me the will. He does. I didn't get the will yet this morning, but he will. The will, and he does the work. That is a great deal. I don't know how we can pass up on that. That is a great deal. Such good news. We're not talking here about behavior modification, more willpower, putting my big girl pants on, putting your big boy pants on. No, that is totally our doing. That's us. I got to try harder. Got to try harder. Got to try harder. We have the miraculous privilege of God doing the work. The power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit is absolutely necessary for transformation. If you think that you can pull off lifelong transformation without the power of the Holy Spirit, I have a piece of land in Florida I could sell you. It's not going to happen. It's not true. You have to have the power of the Holy Spirit. If God doesn't change the heart, there's no lasting change. And as the Holy Spirit changes our heart, does his work, it will naturally, actually, supernaturally change our behaviors, our actions, our thoughts, our words. So, is there anything that transformation requires of us? Actually, there is. Complete surrender, a willingness to change, and participation in the work that God is doing in us. Easier said than done. And it all might sound a little scary, actually, to say, God, have at it, transform me. But here's what I choose to believe because Scripture says it. Philippians 1:6 in the Amplified says, "For I am convinced and confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will continue to perfect and complete it until the day of Christ Jesus, the time of his return." Here's the best news ever. God begins the transformation. God does the transformation, and God completes the transformation. Wow. Why would we not step into transformation? He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's going to author these desires in you to be transformed, and he's going to finish. He's going to finish the work. There were times when Evan was doing our kitchen renovation. He was a couple weeks into it. I remember he's just like, I'm kind of getting tired of this now. I was like, oh, you will not get tired of this. You will finish this kitchen. You will finish it. God is the author and the finisher of our faith. Look, church, God isn't inviting us into more information. He's extending to us an invitation for transformation. We are inundated with information in this day and age. I don't think God's like, here, let me give you even more information. He wants to extend an invitation for transformation. And as we are transformed, we look more and more like him. And whether we believe it and whether you and I believe it at this very moment or not, that's actually the life we've always wanted. A life that's being transformed into all that he has. Bev, if you would come up. So when each of our four kids were born, they were my parents' first grandchildren, and so they were obviously over the moon excited. And at that point, video cameras, you know, were like new and cutting edge. It was kind of like carrying a microwave around, like, you know, these small little cameras. And my dad got one, and they were living in Chapel Hill at that point, and so they were usually there day one or day two after our kids were born. And my dad, he would come with his video camera and tape the kids when they were infants, and then every time they came in that first year, he would tape them. I mean, you know, whether they're screaming their head off or whether they were eating or, you know, and so, and then it ended with the first year birthday. And so each of my kids have... We took the DVDs and changed them and put them on a disc. And so each of my kids now have their first year video. And so when our daughter Caroline was home for her Christmas break just back in December, she pulled hers out, and we were looking at it. And as we watched it, I thought, who are these kids? I've got a 5.5-year-old, a 4-year-old, almost 3, and then this infant. And I just was like, who are these? Is this what they really looked like? I mean, they all had bleach blonde hair, which only one of my kids still sort of has lighter hair now. Caroline, as a bit, like parents of older kids, or maybe if you're younger, you're like, I can't imagine that. No, like I looked at Caroline in that video as an infant, and I thought, if you just placed her picture in front of me, I wouldn't know whose child that was. I thought, I would not know that was Caroline Schenck. And the boys were being boys, and my oldest is back there, so I'm not going to say much more than that, but they were being boys and adjusting to the newness of a baby. But I just thought, wow, how they have changed in 22 years. I don't know about you, but I sure hope that I don't look the same spiritually and emotionally that I did 22 years ago, or that I looked 10 years ago, or that I looked 2 years ago. And I sure hope that 22 years or 12 years or 10 years or 2 years from now, that I don't look the same spiritually and emotionally as I do now. Church, God never changes. Scripture says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. But we can and should be changing and being transformed more and more into his image. that brings us abundant life. That brings us the life we've always wanted. Let's get our hopes up that God actually could transform us. What if he can? What if God really fulfills his promise and he does what he says he'll do and he does transform us? Let's get our hopes up that he will. I was at last weekend the IF gathering at the First Church of the Nazarene, that they had a 2-day women's conference and a lot of different speakers, and took a lot of notes. But one of the things that one of the speakers said that stuck out at me as I was thinking of already this sermon for today, they said, chase your growth. What are you afraid of? We're standing on the rock. He won't fail us. Chase your growth, church. Can I get the ministry team to come up? And here's how I want to end. As Bev keeps playing, why don't you all stand as well? That would be good. As Bev keeps playing, I simply want us to take 30 seconds maybe, just for us to posture ourselves before the Lord. Well, if you need to close your eyes, you can close your eyes. If not, keep them open. However you posture yourself before the Lord, undistracted, and begin chasing your growth. Begin by asking the Lord, in what area of my life are you extending an invitation for transformation? And then, or maybe you already know in your heart where God's asking you to transform. And then by faith, I simply want to challenge each of us to just say, I'm in, Lord. I'm in. Go to work in me. Transform me into the image that looks more and more like you. So let's just take a few seconds and do that. God, I thank you that you are the rock. And we stand on the one who will never fail and the one who never changes. Yet, God, we say we do need to be transformed. We can't do it by ourselves. We don't want to do it by ourselves. So, Lord, I just ask that whatever areas that you spoke to each person in this room today, God, would you make us willing? to go for the transformation that you have in store. God, we trust you. We trust you with this transformation because we want to be transformed more and more into your image. So Jesus, would you have your way? Go to work in us and transform us that we would experience the abundant life that you have for us. We trust you and we love you. Amen. The ministry team is going to be up here. If you would like prayer for anything, whether it's sermon related or not, you're more than welcome to come up for prayer. Otherwise, you are dismissed. Parents, we're done a little bit early, so please be respectful of children's ministry still going on upstairs. Just wait until they're done at the end. You're dismissed. Go out and be transformed more and more into his image. Love you, church.